Can I see your Bibles? Clear Word Bible, okay. I didn't say put them down. Oh, wait, come on. Isn't it good? Keep your Bible up. Let's pray. Amen? Let's bow our heads. Let's pray. Keep your hands up, your head bowed. Amen? Father in heaven, we praise your holy name. We thank you for Jesus. We thank you for your Word. We thank you, dear Spirit, for inspiring it, for breathing your thoughts into men's hearts and minds and having them write it out. Thank you that it can teach us and grow us up. It can transform us if we allow you to do it. So please bless us in a powerful and mighty way today. Encourage our hearts and transform us to be a little bit more like Jesus. In His name we pray. And the church said, you may put your Bibles down. Anybody's arm tired? Boy, I have good news and bad girl. Bad news. What? You know, bad girls. No, I have. Hey, Warren, did you pass that on to me? Well, you know. They do. I have good news and bad news. You want to hear the good news or bad news first? Bad news? Good news. The good news is you got your word cards today, right? The good news is, there's three words for you to listen to. What are they? Truth, Word, and Heart. So when I say any of those words, just put a little mark, see how many times I say it. Do you want to know what the bad news is? I left the wristbands and pencils at home. So if you don't do it, that's okay. I'm sorry. I'm a bad pastor. You know what I did last week? I cleaned out my car. Someone said amen. I cleaned out my car, but this is doubly bad. I'm really confessing today. I cleaned out my car and took the bottle, the jar that I have with them, and put them in the house. Because I usually leave them in the back seat. And last week I forgot them at Billerica Church. And now I forgot them here. My wife is really rolling her eyes. And I forgot him again. Please forgive me. I felt sick when I realized I didn't have him. But I hope you'll forgive me. And you can have two next time. I'll make up for it, okay? So we just turned that little bit of bad news into some good news. Amen? Ah, oh, thank you. She absolved me of my sin. Thank you very much. Amen. I appreciate that. Hallelujah. Why don't you turn to your neighbor and say, hi, I'm glad you're here today. Hi, I'm glad you're here today. Hi, I'm glad you're here today, brother.
Hey, Ellie. Hey, Ellie.
Hi. Hi, how are you? Good to see you. All right. Amen. You know, I received an email, and I don't start my sermons off too often on the real funny note, but some of these one-liners, they're Bible one-liners, they're little funny one-liner jokes. And I'm not going to say who sent them to me, but I got them this week, and I was reading some of them, and they're kind of funny. See what you think. What kind of man was Boaz before he married? Ruthless. Not good? Not good? It's good? Okay. Who was the greatest financier in the Bible? Noah. He was floating his stock while everyone else was liquidating. I'm only the messenger. What kind of... Oh, no, we'll do this. We'll do a shorter one. Who was the greatest comedian in the Bible? Samson. He brought down the house. Or house down. Okay, last one. I'm getting off this case here. What excuse did Adam give for his children as to why he no longer lived in Eden? Your mother ate us out of house and home. Okay. Moving on. Ladies and gentlemen, transformed by truth. I just hope today that the Bible will become more authoritative, more real, and more dynamic in your life. That's my goal for my sermon. That would be my sermonic sentence. That would be my purpose, my goal for today. Transformed by truth. I've been talking a lot about this little concept here, this little vision. If I can get it to come up here. This vision statement that we have. And you've seen it several times before, haven't you? I saw it in the Pathfinder presentation, not last week, but the week before. And I'll tell you, that Pathfinder presentation knocked my socks off. That was excellent. I was very pleased, very nice. One of the nicest Pathfinder presentations I ever heard. You know, sometimes you come to church for those things and you wonder what's going to happen and you're not sure. That was good. Amen? That was good. I really enjoyed it. But friends helping friends become fully devoted followers of Christ. You know, I've talked a bit about friends becoming friends, the idea of community and friendship. And I've been talking about growing. That's the becoming. And today is continuing this idea of becoming. Becoming. We are always becoming. You are always becoming something. Amen? But what is it are you becoming? That's what we want to ask ourselves. And are we on the road, are we consistently on the journey to becoming the kind of person that Christ wants us to be? Anybody want to become more like what Christ wants us to be? That's why you're here, amen? Well, today, oftentimes, the ought to, and I said this before as well, you know, we ought to do this, we ought to be like that. It comes out loud and clear. There's no problem with the ought-tos. But a lot of times the how-tos just remain in the background with a soft whisper, how do you do it? How do you do it? So today I'm not just want to talk about the ought-tos. That's going to come out loud and clear. But I want the how-to to happen as well. Loud and clear. Amen? How to. How to be transformed by truth. How? How does it happen? What's the dynamic? And I don't have the corner on it. Amen? I have some thoughts, some ideas, some biblical truth that I want to share with you. And you take it. And you run with it. Amen? And you run with it. I'd like to share this slide with you. If all were willing... Ellen White wrote this in the book, Acts of the Apostles, page 50. That little lady. Amen. She wrote this. She says, if all were willing, all would be filled with the Spirit. What's the prerequisite of being filled with the Spirit here? Willing. Notice it's not perfect. Notice it's not good enough. It's willing. That makes it easy. Thank you, dear. She's my best. She's the best fan club. I got one amen. You know what? I know I'm in New England, and that's okay. I'm going to keep harping on it because I love amens. But that's okay because maybe you're saying amen inside your heart. Amen. Willing. If you were willing, if everyone would be filled with the Spirit, wherever the need of the Holy Spirit is a matter little thought of, there is spiritual drought, spiritual darkness, spiritual declension, and death. You notice this idea of there's spiritual drought. You can't grow when it's drought outside. You can't grow a good crop when it's drought. Can you? You need light to grow crops, not darkness. And of course, it'll eventually lead to spiritual death. You know what? I have another slide continuing this thought, but I want to interject this. It's easy to camouflage or to fake being spiritually healthy. Okay, for example. Now, I'm not calling anybody a faker here. You know what I mean? But it's easy to put your best foot forward, and everyone thinks things are fine and dandy with you spiritually when they're not. And you don't want other people to know that because you're less spiritual, at least you think you would be, if you're not, you know, at least having a facade of being happy and being in the Lord and that kind of thing. And you know, pastors have that pressure on them all the time. Huh? Yeah. Yeah. I can't say, you know what, I like to go to the... I can't fake going to the gym and telling you I can bench press 300 pounds. Can I? I can tell you that, but you can show... I don't believe you, Pastor, show me. Come on, let me see you bench press 300 pounds. I got to prove it. But how do you prove the spiritual stuff? See what I'm saying? It's kind of easy in the spiritual dimension, the spiritual world, and the spiritual component to kind of fudge it. But folks, being a real person, just being, you know, who you are, who God made you to be, is okay. It's good stuff. Remember, He loves you right where you are. But He loves you too much to keep you there. Hallelujah, right? Come on now. So if all were willing, all would be filled with the Spirit. And basically being filled with the Spirit means being under the control and leadership of the Spirit. Basically. Amen? It's not being all hyped up and emotional and happy, although that could be a nice fringe benefit. Hallelujah? Amen. Here's the second slide I have. Continuing her thought. Whenever minor matters... She's talking about the church. Whenever minor matters occupy the attention, the divine power which is necessary for the growth and prosperity of the church is lacking, though offered in infinite plentitude. So if the church is dragged down, slowed down, with all the minor incidences that really kind of capture our energy and our attention, and we're not focusing on the Spirit filling us, the Spirit leading us, the Spirit guiding us, there is spiritual darkness, there is spiritual declension, and it will lead to spiritual death. It'll be like a tomato rotting on the vine. And I don't want to see that happen to anyone. Amen. I'm here with you to help this church to be everything God wants it to be. Sorry for the cliche. God has great purposes for us. Amen? Great purposes. But if we think we can do it ourselves, we are sadly mistaken. We need the Spirit to help us. We need the Spirit's empowerment. We need the Spirit's leadership and guidance. You need the Spirit in your personal life every day. I do as well. Amen? So today, when we talk about growing, being transformed, being changed, growing up, having the truth impact us, it is all predicated on the Spirit doing it for us. Amen? What did Jesus say about the Spirit? He will lead you into all... Isn't that good? So if you've been led into truth, who led you there? Amen. Woo! That's exciting. That's exciting. Okay, let me just kind of do a little brain teaser here with this next slide. Let me ask you, something is true because it works. Is that a correct or a true statement? I'm hearing people saying no. I hear some yes. Okay? We're trying to get into this truth thing now a little bit. How about this one? Something works because it's true. which is true. Are they both true, both false? One more true than the other? What do you think? Come on, philosophers. The second one's more apt to be true. Guess what? I would go along with the second one more than the first one. But you know what's wrong with both of them? Well, no. It's really not a good, accurate definition of what truth is. See? These are saying truth is, if it works, it's true. Now, it might be for different reasons, but if it works, it's true. Folks, that is a very shaky foundation for what truth is. Please open your Bibles to John chapter 17 and verse 17. Yes, John 17, 17. Amen? John 17, 17. We got to move. Look what Jesus said. Jesus said, sanctify them. Sanctify them by your, what's truth? Your word is truth. Sanctify them. What does that mean? Sanctify. Sanctify is a tremendous biblical word. It's a great word. Sanctify means to be set apart. Set apart for holy use. And anytime anyone's being sanctified, it takes inspiration to be sanctified for holy use. Amen? So when you talk about God's Word and being sanctified, you're talking about inspiration. You're talking about illumination of your heart and your mind by God's Word. Folks, you can always count on God's Word to be true. Now, I know it's not always easy to extract that from the Word of God, the truth, is it? It's not always easy to do that. But you will always extract the truth if you come to the truth in the Word of God. Right? Am I right? Okay, turn to John chapter 8, our scripture text for today. Just go back in your Bible a little bit. Let's look at verse 31. John chapter 8, beginning with verse 31. 8:31. John 8:31. Are you with me so far? Amen? Then Jesus said to those Jews who believed Him, if you abide or remain in My Word, right? Which is truth. Amen? You are My disciples. We are not even His disciples if we're not abiding, in other words. And you shall know the truth. And the truth will make you free. The truth might make you miserable first, though. Am I right? It can, especially if you're fighting the truth. I remember fighting truth when I was becoming a Seventh-day Adventist, and I probably still fight some things in my life today. And we always will fight, and you've got to fight the good fight. Because your tendency is to believe a lie and not the truth. Amen? You need the Spirit. I need to be the Spirit just as much as you do. Let's continue on. And Jesus answered him, Abraham's descendants, we are Abraham's descendants and have never been in bondage to anyone. How can you say you will be made free? Jesus answered them, most assuredly I say to you, whoever commits sin is a slave to sin. And a slave does not abide in the house forever, but a son abides forever. Therefore, if the Son makes you free, you will be free indeed. Truth will set you free. Sin cannot hold its grip on you because truth is greater than a lie. Someone once said that spiritual growth is the process of substituting the lie in your life for truth. Interesting definition of spiritual growth. Want me to say that again? Spiritual growth is the process of substituting a lie in your life with truth.
I got to get that right.
You got it right? Substituting a lie for the truth. Replacing a lie with truth. Amen? Is the Atu coming out loud and clear this morning? Yeah, the Atu is coming out loud and clear. Okay, so basically what are you saying, Pastor? I'm saying the Word is true. I'm saying the Word has power to sanctify you. The Word has power to change you. To be set apart for holy use is a transformation process. You're thinking, I'm smelling smoke in here. It's not always easy. It's not always easy to grow. Because we don't like to change. Please turn to 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. And while we're doing that, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. But before we read that text, could someone find Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, and stand up and read that about the Word of God? Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. And what? I'd like you to read that out loud to me first, please, before we read 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. Hebrews 4, 12. Can someone... Yes, thank you very much. Oh! Did you hear that? The Word of God is alive. Thank you! The same power that created the Word spoke into being, the same power of creation is in this Word. That's what this is saying. Woo! Yeah. Abigail. You're Abigail, right? Aren't you Abigail? All right. Think about that. But you know what the problem is? We don't like to change. We see the Word of God will expose your thoughts. It'll expose your motives. It'll expose your sin. Ouch, 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 if they're not all good. Yeah. We have an aversion to change, but transformation implies changing. The Word of God is alive. It can change you. It has power to change you. And I'll show you how. Okay, 2 Timothy 3:16. Let me just turn to that real quickly. I don't have it here. I was in Hebrews. 2 Timothy, isn't it good to be in the Word of God? It's refreshing. It's important. We need to be in the Word of God together like this. I'm in 1 Timothy. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. Hallelujah. And is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Simple definition of righteousness is right doing. Right? Right doing comes out of right being. Okay, let's continue. Verse 17. That the man of God, that's a woman too, may be complete. Some of your versions say perfect. Thoroughly equipped in every good work. Amen? I've got some confidence, but I can beat him out. So the Word of God can teach us. The Word of God can instruct us. The Word of God can reprove us. Ouch. The Word of God can empower us and equip us for all good works. You're capable of doing a whole lot more than you realize through the power of God in your life. You know? When you're running a marathon, I've never run a marathon. Anybody here run a marathon? Didn't the Boston Marathon happen, or is it happening soon? The Boston Marathon. It would be kind of a cool thing to have your pastor run the Boston Marathon, wouldn't it? Probably won't happen. Okay. All right. Okay, that's a good point.
I heard. Okay, yeah, we are.
I didn't hear you correctly. Thank you, Marguerite. We are in a race. The Bible says we're in a race. We're in a race. If you've accepted Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, are you not in the race? Yeah. I mean, he says it. And Paul says, run the race how? We talked about this during our stress management seminar we're having on Wednesday nights, our prayer meeting. Paul says, run the race as one who wins. That means you've got to be focused, put everything on it. It takes diligence. It takes commitment. Yeah. How committed are you in growing? You know? Okay, well, how do you grow? That's pretty much what my next part of this message is going to be about. However, just real quickly, bear with me as we get into that. Check out what the prophet or the great wise man Solomon said in Proverbs chapter 4. He said, "My son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. For they are to those who find them and to all their flesh. Keep your heart with all diligence. For out of it spring the issues of life." How's your heart? Amen? How's your heart? You know, we are bombarded by so many things out there in our society that is masquerade for truth. Masquerading for truth. For example, the Da Vinci Code. Have you been hearing about that? Big thing, the Da Vinci Code. You know what that's about? Jesus having an affair with Mary Magdalene. You know, and their blood lineage. And Jesus is not who he said he was. Hogwash. Are you going to believe a movie or a book, or are you going to believe the Word of God? Amen. This is sure. You can count on it. God cannot lie. Impossible. He can't lie. God cannot lie. The devil can only lie. He can't tell the truth, the poor thing. He's got to mix a lie and the truth somehow. Amen? But God cannot tell a lie. It's impossible for God to tell a lie. Do you know that? He can't. Impossible. And also, have you heard about the Judas Gospel? The Judas Gospel. Judas Gospel. Just recently, you know, they found it, they uncovered it. And basically that they're saying that Jesus was really asked by Jesus to betray him. Hello? Anybody home? What do you think, we're checking out? You know, but a lot of people who don't know the Word of God, a lot of people who don't know the truth, they believe this stuff. No. Oh, and for you science lovers, which I like science. Do you see that little fishy thing there? You see that? Kind of seems out of place, doesn't it? Well, this is called the new missing link. In other words, they found the missing link. In the missing link of the chain of evolution, I'm a creationist, amen? God spoke it and it stood fast. God could have spoken it, everything all at once, but He took 7 days to do it because He wanted us to draw into that 7-day cycle. And He rested on the Sabbath day, not like He knew He was tired, but He wanted us to be with Him. Amen? He wanted us at least 24-hour period where we be with the God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Amen? Where we can get refocused and recentered, just like we're doing right now. Amen? But here's what they're saying about this missing link. I'm talking about lies now, not the truth. I'm trying to do a contrast here. This is what the article said near this picture on the internet. Scientists have caught a fossil fish in the act of adapting toward a life on land. A discovery that sheds new light on one of the greatest transformations in the history of animals. Man, I am not interested in the transformation of animals. I'm interested in the transformation of human beings. Amen? I'm interested in being transformed in the likeness of Christ. Amen? See, I stepped off my thing here and I get all excited about this. I don't have any passion for this stuff at all. I know it. Researchers have long known that fish evolved into the first creatures on land with four legs and backbones more than 365 years ago. But they've had precious little fossil evidence to document how it happened until they found this little guy. this doesn't say a whole lot about giving a lot of credibility and accountability and affirmation to the human race, does it? Last little paragraph. The new find of several specimens look more like a land dweller than the few other fossil fish known from the transitional period. And researchers speculate, and it is speculation, amen, that it may have taken brief excursions out of the water. You know, the devil will do anything he can to get us away from this. Amen? And the truth. Man. Folks, we believe it from cover to cover, do we not? We got to read it from cover to cover. Amen? I dropped some papers. Is that all right? Let me just pick them up real fast before I trip over them. All right, how does this happen? You ready? Hold on to your wingtips, ladies, men, and your hats, ladies. Here we go. Three things. These are basic things that must happen. If we're going to grow, be transformed by truth, we must accept the authority of God's Word. What is the ultimate compass? What is the ultimate rule of your life? What is the thing that will be the first and the last thing in your life that'll say this is right and this is wrong? What will you depend on? What will you measure that with? It's got to be the authority of God's Word. I see confused faces up here. Did I say something wrong? Did I confuse you? In other words, what's going to be the rule of your life that tells you something is right or something is wrong? When it comes down to really knowing God's will and way for your life, what are you going to do? What are you going to base your decision on? You've got to come back to the authority of God's Word. God's Word is authoritative in your life. God's will and way should have the biggest sway, the last word in your and my life. Right? Not culture. Because if we go with culture, we got Da Vinci Code. Amen? What about traditions? Traditions? Culture's not all bad, is it? No, but not everything's right about culture. So you got to kind of sift things through. What about tradition? Tradition's a good thing, right? But tradition says, well, I'm going to do it just because the way we've been doing it. Well, what happens if something comes in and shows you the truth that you shouldn't be doing it? It's the truth. You might struggle with it. I remember being coming into the Adventist church, amen, accepted Christ as my Lord and Savior, and I learned about Saturday as Sabbath, going to church on Sabbath, Saturday. What's this? That was totally strange. But you know what? The Word of God said so. God gave me the power to say yes. Follow Him. Yes. And He's blessed me abundantly. Amen? So tradition, you got to be careful with that. What are other things we do to make decisions? How about feeling or emotion? It felt right. I'm not against doing things because it felt right. But you better check that with what the Word of God says. Because you know what the problem is with making decisions based on just culture alone, based on tradition, based on feeling? They're all impacted by the fall. Sin. Amen? Okay. All right. So you've got to come to the Word of God and say, God's Word's got to be authoritative. It's got to have the last say in your life. Secondly, you have to assimilate. You have to assimilate the truth into your life. How do you do that? Well, please turn to Matthew 13. Come on. I'm almost done. This is the how-to part of my sermon. Come on. Am I losing you? Okay. A lot of kids have to take medicine for ADHD. But not you, right? It's easy for me to... my attention is caught up here. I can't help it. This is good stuff for me. But I'm not you. I'm not seeing it from your perspective. I wish you could see it from mine. And you might be saying, I wish I could see it from yours, right? Check it out. Listen to the parable of the sower. Verse 1. Matthew 13, verse 1. On the same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat by the sea. And the great multitudes were gathered together to him, so that he got into a boat and sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore. Verse 3. Then he spoke many things to them in parables, saying, Behold, the sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seed fell upon the wayside, and birds came and devoured them. Some fell on stony places where they did not have much earth, and they immediately sprang up because they had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up and choked them. But others fell on good ground, hallelujah, and yielded a crop, some 100, some 60, some 30. He who has ears, let him hear what this is saying. Amen? And you can read the explanation starting with verse 18. But listen to me. Basically, the soil that falls on the hard ground is a closed mind. You're not receptive. In order to assimilate God's Word, God's truth into our lives, you have to be open to it. You have to be saying, Yes, Lord, I want to know it and I want to follow it. Amen? Yeah, it's not that hard. It's not rocket science. But you have to have this attitude. The Bible says, guard your heart with all diligence. So when the Word of God falls in your heart, how do you receive it? Are you open to it? Do you want to follow it? So the hard soil or the pathway or the wayside, it's a closed mind. Then the second soil, the shallow soil, rocky soil, it's a superficial mind. It's when you know troubles come in your life. You just started on this path of Christianity, for example, or you're trying to follow Christ, or you're coming closer to the cross and surrendering your life to Christ. Just something happens, discourages you, and you just throw it all in. There's no root. But all of these descriptions, these soil types, describe our hearts. And the seed is the Word of God and how we receive it. And you and I, in order to be transformed, we have to be open. We have to be the good soil. You have to work at that.
Let's pray. Keep your Bibles up. Dear Father, thank you for your Word again. Our hearts have been touched by the importance of your Word, Lord. Your Word is alive. It can help us. It can encourage us. It can illumine the path that we walk on. Lord, help us. Thy Word, the Bible says, the Word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. Amen. So please, God, lead and guide and direct us. We love you. Thank you for loving us. And I just ask a blessing on each man, each woman, each boy, each girl, each little baby. Thank you, dear Jesus, for hearing this prayer in your name. Amen.